Good evening, planet Earth. Good evening, Utah. It's almost midnight on Thursday, August the 5th, 2021, Boblimpdoc. The whispers of the darkness come through the walls this time of night. You can hear the ghost scrambling for coyote madness. You can hear the dogs chasing their own demons. You can hear the snoring of the cattle. You can hear the cows dreaming of milk. And if you're listening on a shortwave radio set, if you're listening on a shortwave receiver or transceiver, if you are tuned into the photonic exploration of the universal Grunkus, then this might be 5950 kilohertz. This might be Saturday or Sunday night. This might be sometime between 11 p.m. and midnight Eastern Standard Time, or 3 a.m. and 4 a.m. UTC. And it would be WRMI. WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee, from the great swamp the beast shall arise. First topic is going to be something I'm going to do here periodically, and I'll drink a little coffee before we get into the specifics. The first topic is I'm going to periodically look at the news. I hate the news. It's mostly lies now. I will periodically go to ZeroHedge.com. I will read the headlines, but translate them into a language that I don't know. Maybe it's less crappy. More poison tubes are ready for your arm nozzles. They've got more poison tubes to jab into your forearm. A pinch between the cheek and gums. The new vaccine, you can put it between your cheek and gums. Like skull. Just like skull. Just like cha. The cigarette cure that killed Ebola. Maker of dog collar says dog collar is going to start watching porn for you. Yes, it turns out watching porn is too hard, so the dog collar manufacturer, Apple Computer, is going to make a dog collar, a special iPhone dog collar. Just for you. Fully subsidized. That way, it's all convenient. Just for you, slave freak. You're gonna get a new dog collar. And the new one's gonna do all the work for you. Including watch your porn. Next Zero Edge headline. Thank you. next Zero Hedge headline. Alt news guy takes rebel pose for 5 minutes. Next headline. Don't screw with grizzly bears. Don't mess with grizzly bears. If they don't eat you, you'll get a bill. You'll get a ticket from the park ranger for being in danger. If you mess with the grizzly bear, you'll awaken the bear in the park ranger. So don't mess with the grizzly bears. China says Taiwan is like an ex-girlfriend. China says Taiwan is like an ex-girlfriend. The ex-girlfriend that gave you crabs. You still love her, but she gave you crabs and you never got rid of them. You love her so much. But she gave you crabs. Yes, China says Taiwan is like an ex-girlfriend that gave you crabs. Next headline. Next Zero Hedge headline translated. Ribbed for your pleasure. Cop kills woman on 1-6. The greatest disaster in American history. It looks like the only person that was shot and killed was one of the great terrorists that almost destroyed Washington, D.C. Next headline. Rich man sells. Rich man sells. Rich man sells. Rich man sells giant gold canoe. Next Zero Hedge topic. Chicago Teachers Union is lazy and stupid. Next Zero Hedge headline. It's getting expensive to ship that Walmart crap from China. But don't ask Taiwan. Taiwan will give you crabs. Next headline. Russians are stealing credit cards. It must be Thursday. The Russians are stealing your credit cards. It must be Thursday. The Russians are stealing your credit cards. They're going to Pornhub. They're renting the videos, the ones you shouldn't watch. The Russians, they got your credit cards. And now you're in trouble because your soon-to-be ex-wife, she saw your bill. But now you can say, but honey, it was the Russians. You're still pretty. I still love you. You're still pretty. I love that dress. I love your makeup. You're still pretty. I love your makeup. I love your dress. It was the Russians, baby. Next headline. July payroll numbers. They need to be massaged Korea style. The payroll numbers from the BLS, they better look right, or else the scrungo freaks from sectors 8 and 9Z, they will attack Wall Street. They will send their Dimbo soldiers. They will use machetes made out of cocaine. They will attack Wall Street. They will make it bloody. Goldman Sachs is doomed. Goldman Sachs is doomed. Next headline from Zero Hedge. Get your free vaccines. Get your free vaccines. There are free vaccines. They're giving them away with every hot dog. Get your free vaccines in Nevada. Get your free vaccine and then get a blowjob. Get your free vaccine, gumbo freaks. Next headline from Zero Hedge. Israel is killing people. Today must be a day that ends in the letter Y. Israel's dropping bombs on Lebanon. Israel's dropping bombs on Palestinians. Israel's dropping bombs on people she don't like. It must be a day that ends in a Y. It must be a day that ends in a Y, brothers and sisters. Next headline. There aren't as many cars on the road in China for some reason. Next headline. Iran has a new crazy guy. Next headline. The Australians want vaccines and masks and metal rods shoved up their butts. Next headline. The Saudis are doing Israeli-style crap again. Posers, copycats. Next headline. Everything is a bubble. Next headline. New Yorkers are kind of skeptical. Really? Wow. Next headline. Next headline. The last headline. Doug Casey says, you are screwed. Doug Casey says, you're screwed. This has been Zero Hedge Headlines, translated for Mungo Freaks, translated for all the swamp dwellers, translated for the mountain people that live in caves. Translated for the street people that live in sewers like Chud. Translated for the nuns and the priests. Translated for the hookers and the cops. Translated for all the wretched figures that scrape protein off the burning street in the blistering sun. Next topic. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Not drowning. If you don't drown. Not drowning is the new American dream. What does that mean? Not drowning is the new American dream. Treading water is the new American dream. Not sinking below the sea and the waves is the new American dream. Not being murdered and raped and dumped in a ditch someplace is the new American dream. Body autonomy, where government officials don't threaten to jab you with foreign substances. That's the new American dream. Having any sense of ownership of your existence. That's over. This is a quote from Dr. Freckles. Not drowning is the new American dream. What does that mean? Now you say, well, Dan, that's negative. Why do you have to be so negative? No, I'm trying to just have a conversation about reality. Okay? Ever since 2009, they have told you that we're in recovery, or we're recovered, or unemployment is going down. But if you know anything about the numbers, if you understand how the Federal Reserve, how the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, how they massage the numbers, South Korean massage style, South Korean massage style haircut at Camp Stanley a la 1978, disco music, naked Korean woman, give you massage for $10. $19.78 prices. The Bureau of Labor and Statistics and the Federal Reserve have all sorts of ways of goal-seeking numbers. So when you look at a headline where it says, the July payrolls better be good. One of the implications is that it's natural, that it comes from nature. We hope something arrives that we don't control. But this is actually crap. It's total crap. Total crap. The real question as an amateur Sovietologist you should ask is, why would they put a headline out there like this? The July payrolls better be good. The most logical implication of such a headline is that they will be good. I think so. I don't know. I mean, right now, I have a hard time figuring out for certain why the powers that be are doing the silly, crazy stuff they're doing. If I look back upon the timeline just since March of 2020, ignore the last lost decade of crapola, ignore all the BS between 9/11 and today, just since March of 2020, it seems like they took a stick of dynamite and tossed it at the engine of human civilization. So the engine's still running, it's just not running so good. And it's leaking a lot of oil, and it's wobbly, and its timing is off. And eventually, because its timing is off, engine damage will occur. And once that occurs, the oil gallery and the water gallery, they start mixing. And that's when you start smelling weird things, you know, coming from your engine. And that's when all hell breaks loose, right? When the oil and the water mix. When the whole engine starts to fail. I don't think they're going to tell you anything useful in the July payrolls report, whether it's good or bad. Whether it looks good or bad, really the interesting question is why. If they want more chaos, and sometimes they seem to want more chaos, then I think the July payrolls number is going to be bad. On the other hand, if it's too good, they can't justify not tapering, aka they can't justify, if it's too good, continuing to print money, right? Why do you need stimulus if the payroll numbers look good? You don't, right? But all of this is a kabuki dance. All of this is theater. All of this is pre-decided in a neo-Stalinist hellhole. Every single one of these headlines is connected to a decision, and there is no market. Not right now. At some point in the near future, when certain systems start falling apart, markets will arise again. But they don't exist right now. And if you're a crypto person that's, oh, but Dan, no, you're still measuring your crypto in dollars. I saw this really dumb crypto meme the other day where this dude is saying, this is how much US dollars gold my US dollars crypto is worth. But you're still measuring in dollars. I don't think anybody is seriously delivering gold right now to people just for crypto. They're delivering it for dollars. They're not delivering it for crypto. I think crypto people are very hopeful. They believe that the system will fall apart, but the internet and electricity will still work. I think there's a lot of strange mental gymnastics going on in crypto people's heads right now. But when the wheels come off the bus and you have your first 3 or 4 weeks without electricity, your first 3 or 4 weeks without reliable water, your first 3 or 4 weeks where the food ain't so good and it ain't at the grocery store, I think maybe crypto people will start to wise up. Crypto was the last scam. I'm going to repeat that statement because I don't know if people want to listen or not. Crypto was the last scam. And yeah, scams make money for scamsters. And while the scam is operating, people make scammy profits. But I will repeat, crypto was the last scam. The housing thing, that was the previous scam. And it's still out there as a scam, but the last scam, the exciting scam, the final rotation is crypto. Crypto is not the beginning of the future. It is the end of the current model. It is the end of the current paradigm. When the current paradigm fails, crypto will fail. So between now and then, make whatever money you can with the blockchain. And God bless. And then when the future arrives and you find out that that won't work, then be flexible. Better yet, try to, you know, time the market somewhat so you don't get stuck. But truly, most of you are so deluded now. You need to believe psychologically. It's not just about the money. You have to believe in your weirdo future you think is going to happen, despite the fact that we live in a neo-Stalinist hellhole of highly centralized, highly inefficient systems. You need to believe those systems are going to be reliable and functional. You need to believe that an 800-pound person that's bedridden is suddenly going to jump out of the bed and run a marathon. It's possible, I guess. I mean, improbable things are improbable, but not impossible or unpossible. So theoretically, your 800-pound bedridden person that has all kinds of calcification and issues, has all kinds of weird sores on their feet, yeah, theoretically that person could get up and run a marathon. And theoretically, who knows, maybe they could set a record. But the likelihood seems so low that I don't think that's where you should put all your bets. People look at Amazon and they say to themselves, well, Dan, Amazon's the future. But what if Amazon is the last candle? What if Walmart could have been that candle, and who knows why they weren't? But they weren't. 20 years ago, they could have made a few choices, a few smart choices, and Walmart would have simply been the Amazon. But that's not what happened. But when people look at Amazon, oh, but Dan, Amazon's the future. No. Amazon is deeply connected to the kleptocracy. Amazon is deeply connected to the printing of money. Amazon is deeply connected to the deep state. They are not the light bulb. They are the last candle. Not drowning is reality right now for a lot of people. It isn't some magical Disney Plus, Delta variant plus, you know, carnival ride. It's stress. It's getting by. It's barely getting by for a lot of people. People with kids and a family. Not drowning is their American dream. What part of the story do you think we're at? Do you think this is Germany 1933 or Berlin 1945? Do you think this is Rome at the end of the 4th century BC? Or do you think this is the Western Roman Empire at the beginning of the 5th century AD? Where do you think you are right now? Do you think you're in the Soviet Union in the 30s? Or more like Moscow, 1993? Where do you think you are? That's a question you need to answer. If you think this is the beginning of the tyranny, you have not been keeping track. If you think this is the beginning of the concentration camps, a whole bunch of Native American ghosts want to visit you tonight and beat you up with pillowcases filled with soap. No. We've been down the concentration camp road before. We built the roads to take the Native Americans there. But we called it the reservation. Because it sounds nice, doesn't it? Like going to a reservation at a restaurant. Yeah. Filet mignon. Don't need to call it the Trail of Tears. You can call it the Trail of Filet Mignon. Because we're going to the reservation. Surf and turf. I don't want to belabor this point, but I think a lot of folks out there who might still be doing really well for whatever reason, maybe you're plugged into the healthcare industrial complex, maybe you're plugged into the military industrial complex, maybe you're plugged into selling cocaine, maybe you're plugged into something that delivers to all the above. Maybe you work for a major hospital system and you just got offered a big time job. Data warehouse manager for infectious disease control, $250K. Maybe every day for you is a sunshiny day. And God bless if that's true. But you ought to have the common sense to recognize that a lot of people's lives are melting down. And for all the rhetoric about welfare and jobs, which is a lot of bullshit, I'm going to call it what it is. You know, I read the Zero Hedge headlines because Zero Hedge is about the last place I can go to get, excuse me as I vomit in the mouth, the news. But as far as I'm concerned, Zero Hedge versus everything else is like Izvestia versus Pravda. And if you didn't study Soviet history and you don't know those newspapers, that's okay. You might know Pravda. Did you know Pravda means truth? Yeah, that's funny, isn't it? Ironically named. Tyrannies love their irony. Patriot Act. War on terror. War on drugs. War on poverty. Smart device. Smart device. It totally makes you smarter. Tyrannies love their irony. Next topic. And the next topic is another quote from Dr. Freckles. What we know of life on this orb. What we know of life on this planetoid. For new things to be born, old things must die. For new things to be born, old things must die. We know this. We know this, right? You ever hear the term zombie corporation? So back in the early 2000s, and I think maybe even during the commodities boom, there were a lot of people that talked about corporations in China that were zombies. Some of these were industrial corporations created by the Communist Party, and so for all intents and purposes, they're part of the state. And as we all know, those of us who understand that freedom and a decentralized system of relationships is superior, for those of us that have that wisdom, we know that state-run businesses are a giant fail. Okay, period. State-run businesses go down the drain. State-run businesses are a disaster. It can be a slow-motion disaster, like Fannie and Freddie, Sally Mae, General Motors Finance Corporation. It could be a slow-motion disaster, or it can be a fast disaster, like some Chinese company that blinks into existence, disappears the next day, and their CEO gets shot by a firing squad. There are a lot of zombie corporations in China, a lot of companies that simply exist because the Chinese, the People's Bank of China, the Chinese Central Bank, they can simply print money just like our Federal Reserve. They can simply print money and give that money to those zombies. One of the reasons why the IMF, excuse me, I should say the CIA, one of the reasons why the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, has put the Chinese currency in a second-class status is because this is their argument, that the Chinese are using their own printed money to keep companies alive, to undercut competition, blah, blah, blah. It is really kind of silly when you understand that our central bank, every central bank in this world, is doing the same thing right now. It's a little tinny, a little hypocritical, don't you think? What did Dr. Freckles say again? What we know of life on this orb, what we know of life on planet Earth, is for new things to be born, something has to die. It's sad. It's sad. It's poignant. Zombie Corporation 11 has no more funds. It's gonna die. It's gonna die. A zombie corporation dies, people become unemployed. They look for work. If there's work to be found, they find it. If you live in a free society, if you have an actual market economy, and I don't think there's one place on planet Earth right now where that's true, but if it were true, people becoming unemployed is not a disaster. People will find other jobs. Companies failing means other companies will take their place. It means they will buy the resources. It means life goes on. Okay, in an actual healthy economy, newsflash, inflation's not really an issue. I'm randomly mentioning that because people are kind of talking about inflation like it's something you have to have. In a free economy, what's typical is deflation. New technologies, better productivity and management skills, access to new resources. All these things point towards deflation, not inflation. If you have inflation, then you must have a central bank of some sort. You must have printed money. But using printed money to keep old things from dying, whether it's some crooked corporation in China, or it's some crooked corporation in the United States, using printed money to keep these things, these zombies alive, is disastrous. The long-term effect is you crowd out life. The long-term effect is you crowd out creativity. What did we once say about government? Government takes opportunity and changes it into a problem. That's one of the things government, well, it's the only thing government's good at, really. It can steal opportunity, it can steal resources, it can build armies to steal resources, and it can turn all those things into problems, and then the government will give speeches saying, guess what? The little man created these problems. The little dude did it, but we're good government. We're going to help. But you got to give up some freedom. Like Scott Adams says, there are terrorists. There are viruses. You got to give up freedom. Like Scott Adams says, he invented Dilbert. So you must be right and not just autistic. You know, it's funny, in America, in my lifetime, there has developed this general fear of death. I mean, a fear of death, which in some ways is inversely connected to, I would say, actual, authentic religiosity, maybe specifically Christianity. But as humans, have stopped going to churches, they've started to embrace these weird secular fantasy schemes. And Ray Kurzweil, who I often beat up on, is one of these folks, a brilliant man, but one of these folks that sells these secular, you know, immortality scheme. The idea that if you live long enough, you'll live forever. People are brutally, sadly, afraid of death. They're afraid of things going bad. They're afraid of germs in their environment. But I'm going to blow your mind. What if I told you something, and you need to listen? What if I said healthy food goes bad? I'm going to repeat that statement because a lot of people probably don't understand. Food you should put into your body. Food you want to put down your gumpus pipe. Food you want to eat for, you know, survival reasons. Food needs to go bad. This means it can break down. This means your body can take the nutrients and absorb them and restore you. Healthy food breaks down. But in my lifetime, we've been sold on food that can last 20 years, 30 years. We see the diabetes, we see the cancer, we see the heart disease, we see it all, but we believe good food is food that lasts forever. No, actually, the opposite might be true. That hydrogenation process that allows that food to be shelf-stable also means it's shelf-stable inside of you. And it turns out humans never evolved to break down shelf-stable food. Isn't that funny? Oh, but that's science too, sorry. Actual science, not COVID monkey herpes science. In that world, I am an NBA basketball player. Yes, in COVID monkey herpes world, I am the number one center for the, is it still the Los Angeles Lakers? I don't know. But clearly, I'm an NBA basketball player because we live in a COVID monkey herpes world. people in this country are very afraid of death. Human beings are afraid of death. I'm not going to say that the solution to your fear of death is God, because finding God is not something I can actually do for you. Sorry. I know there are lots of evangelists out there and preachers who will say, you listen to me and you'll find Jesus. Well, that's not actually true. One of the central points of the Reformation, one of the central points delivered against the papacy, is that there is nobody between you and God. No pope, no bishop, no cardinal, no priest. Nothing. Your relationship with Jesus is one-on-one. Always has been, always will. Your relationship with God is personal. It was always this way, and it will always be this way. But a lot of folks don't have that any longer, so they look at death and they're afraid. I was, sitting around a few weeks ago, and some people I know were talking, and some of the kids were talking, and they used the phrase, the end of the world. And that's a phrase that gets thrown around a lot, maybe even too much these days. The problem is that the world always ends for somebody. I think when Blue Oyster Cult did Don't Fear the Reaper, it was like 40,000 men and women every day or something like that. But I think today it's probably, maybe five times that number, who knows. But every day somebody's world ends, okay? It just happens that way. If, I would hope that when you were 12 years old or 13, someone had this conversation with you. That everybody's world comes to an end. That everybody's world has a stop sign. That this is not Eden. And every Christian should read the curses that the Lord leveled on all of us as Adam and Eve left. Because if you don't understand these things, you really don't understand your faith. And it's no wonder you're buying shelf-stable food. It's no wonder you're reaching for secular immortality. It's no wonder that you're wanting to find disco, starship, Jesus. Even though it's not a real Jesus, it's an antichrist. When they were talking about it, and these are kids, right? These are high school kids, middle school kids. And they're using the phrase, the end of the world. So I said, wait a minute. I said, wait a minute. The first thing I said was, is that there are times in human history, where people believe, where they feel in their hearts that the world is coming to an end. There are times in human history where people look across the landscape of their community, their neighbors, their society, if you want to call it that, and people say to themselves, the world is coming to an end. If you've never read the Confessions of St. Augustine, now's a good time to read them. St. Augustine lived during the fall of the Western Roman Empire. He lived when everybody who believed in Roman society and believed, well, now that we have Christ on our side, we'll last forever. There are people who believed it could not end, it would not end. Sure, there'd been turmoil. Sure, the Roman Empire had been split in two. Sure, the third century was terrible, and it was. I think in the second century, the Romans had, what, maybe three or four emperors? In the third century, I think they had like 30. At one point, I think one dude bought the Roman Empire for so many sesterces, trillions of sesterces, I think, from the Praetorians. The Praetorians, huh? Think of them as the Roman deep state. By the third century, if you had enough sesterces, if you had enough gold, you could buy the empire. You could buy the whole smoking, smelly, filthy, violent empire. You could own the dumpster fire in the 3rd century AD if you were rich enough and you knew the right Praetorian. By the 4th century, the writing was on the wall. Our good friend, Emperor Constantine, he Christianized the empire. But that didn't fix the problems. And in the 4th century, you have, in 378, oh boy, you have Adrianople. Adrianople was a horrible defeat. It was one of the most significant Roman defeats in Roman military history. Adrianople is often marked as the point at which the Western Roman Empire was basically doomed. I don't know if that's true, but what I can tell you is that in the time of St. Augustine, the Western Roman Empire was collapsing, and lots of people, including young people, looked around and said, "This is the end of the world." And there were men and women like St. Augustine, many of them Christians, who actually helped and said, maybe it's not the end of the world. Maybe it's just change. Maybe it's simply history. And in their case, maybe it's God's plan unfolding. But if you were a pagan Roman in the early 5th century AD, in the Western Empire, because the Eastern Empire lasted a bit longer until the Turks came by and tossed a hand grenade down the Nugget Wrench in 1453, the Turkish arrived, tossed some fire, tossed some plague. In 1453, the Eastern Roman Empire, aka the Byzantine Empire, fell. If you were living in Central Europe, if you were living in the Holy Roman Empire during the 14th century, specifically the middle of the 14th century, but the whole century mostly, if you lived during the 14th century, you might have looked around and said, "Dan, brother, the world is coming to an end." And I know I've given this speech before, but I'm going to give it again. If you lived in that time, and a good book to read, Barbara Tuchman, A Distant Mirror, very good book. If you lived in that calamitous century, you might have felt certain that the world was ending, and it didn't. It was tough. Europe lost, some say, between 40 and 50% of its population in 100 years. Most of that due to plague, but much of that due to war and chaos and crazy. Chaos and crazy and war and plague. And yet, 100 years later, you're in the midst of something called the Renaissance. 100 years later, you have hope again. You have people building again. You have ideas spreading again. 100 years later, approximately, you have the printing press. 100 years later, approximately, you have Leonardo da Vinci. 100 years later, or maybe a little more, you have the opposite of people saying it's the end of the world. You have the Enlightenment beginning too. There are times when it feels like the end of the world for everybody. There are times in anyone's life where it can feel like there is no hope, there is no future. And I know if you listen to my podcast, you probably think I'm a person who, well, is one of those people. There's no hope, there's no future. Spoiler alert. You have a future, okay? Everybody dies, everybody's world ends. But the end of the world, if it's a thing, is not in your power or mine. It's in God's hands or no one's. If you're an atheist, if you don't believe in God, then it's nobody's hands. If you believe in God, there's a plan. But the end of the world is a thing, as a thing is not really a thing. Because even for Christians, the world doesn't really end. I don't know if you're aware of this, but there's something called the Millennial Kingdom. It's called the Millennial Kingdom because it lasts 1,000 years. And we haven't even gotten there yet. So if you're a Christian and you're talking about the end of the world, you need to look at the book of Revelation again. You need to consult prophecy, and you need to understand that even if we were in Revelation right now, it doesn't mean it's the end of the world. It just means a different set of problems, a different set of challenges. Yes, indeed, it probably means Christ will return. But it's not the end. One might even make the argument, as bold as this will sound, that it could be the beginning. But the message is the same, and this is the same message ever since we were tossed out of Eden. If you want new things to arrive, old things will and necessarily die. And it's sad that the Roman Empire had to go away, so sad. But the Middle Ages were not all terrible. The Dark Ages were just a sample fragment. And there were periods of time in the Middle Ages, specifically the High Middle Ages, between, let's say, the 11th century and the end of the 13th century AD, that great technical, great artistic achievements happened. Like, they were occurrences. Things were built. Things were invented. Something called the CAM. The CAM. C-A-M. It sounds small, but it's a way of taking rotational work and turning it into reciprocating work, which means all of a sudden a windmill or a water wheel. All of a sudden a mill that was a simple contraption for grinding wheat or whatever. All of a sudden, a mill can power a hammer, can power a forge. All of a sudden, you've been able to take one kind of mechanical energy and turn it into another. You may think this is small, but it's actually kind of big. Okay? Small things can be bigger than we realize. It was during the Middle Ages that gunpowder was introduced to Europe. Okay? It was not something effectively used at first, let's be blunt. Even the Chinese didn't really effectively use it at first. It took a while. But that was pretty significant. When you actually look at history in an honest way, if what you're told is true, what you find is that there are good times and there are bad times. What you find is people live and they die. What you find is that probably, maybe one day, all of this comes to an end. But I don't know when that is. And the best advice I can give, brothers and sisters, is don't worry about it. I can guarantee you, you'll die one day. I can guarantee you, Ray Kurzweil will die one day. I can guarantee you that every living thing will die one day. I can tell you something. Every Death Star explodes. Every empire collapses. Every king loses their throne. Every bully gets sucker punched behind the school eventually. This is what happens. This is history. This is reality. And if your solution to that is food that never goes bad, or if your solution to that is, well, you know, Ray Kurzweil says, if I live until 2040, I'll live forever. It's not really a solution as much as a delusion, and it's unhealthy. Before we go, I just want to point out that the notes for this podcast broadcast can be found by going to dfgtc.org/show notes. And this is mostly, primarily, for our radio listeners WRMI, WRMI. WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee on 5950 kilohertz, Saturday, Sunday night. From 11 p.m. till midnight, you got me here. They call me the piano preacher because I suck. But after the show, every Saturday and Sunday night, for at least a half an hour, we sometimes do it for an hour, after the show, between midnight and 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, or 4 a.m. and 5 a.m. UTC, if you have a shortwave transceiver set, whether you're licensed or not, for purposes of emergency testing, I want to be clear about this. The purpose is for emergency testing. But if you have a shortwave transceiver and you want to test your equipment to make sure you're ready for an emergency, we will be conducting radio tests and check-ins at 7235, that's 7235 kilohertz, that's 40 meters, that's lower sideband. Every Saturday, Sunday night, you can check in with Dr. Freckles Net Control on the Agorist Emergency Network. And you can test your radio equipment, you can get call signs, you can connect with people. Maybe even connect with people in your region in case of, you know, an emergency. Like a fire, like a flood. Did you know cell phone networks don't always work? Did you know that? And as stated, this is 5950 kilohertz. This is WRMI out of Miami, Okeechobee. And if you're not aware, I want to make a few things clear before we leave. This is a conversation your mom and dad should have had with you when you were 12. Everybody dies. Everybody dies. Your dog will die. Your parents might trick you. Everybody dies. Your goldfish dies. Your cat will die. The people you love will one day die. And that's sad, but also it gives you pause. Everybody you love will one day die. You don't know when. If you're waiting to pick up the phone to give somebody a call, if you're waiting to send an email, if there's some stupid grievance you have with somebody that's really irrelevant, and I'm not talking about the vaccine stuff. That is so over the top that I'm not sure some of that stuff can be fixed. But if the dumb grievance you have is so dumb it's from 10 years ago or 20 years ago, somebody said something dumb, drop it. Pick up your cell phone, pick up your regular phone, send an email, Skype, I don't care. The time you have with people on this planet is limited. It does not last. It is worth more than you can imagine. It is technically priceless. So if there's somebody out there, a friend, family member, former lover, called Taiwan, this is China. I know you gave me the crabs. But I still love you, Taiwan. This is China. You gave me an STD. But you can believe in me. I love you. I love you. I just wanted to call you up, Taiwan. To say, it's okay you gave me crabs. And to all you folks out there, keep cool.